Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood?
King David wrote in the Old Testament, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heavens and earth is thine, is also the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thee, thy glorious name." I want to welcome you, and I'm glad that you came here today to worship with us. I'm glad that you are listening now by radio, and you turn 880, the AM system in our radio broadcast, and I'm glad that you are listening from Bethel Baptist Church here in Morgan Hill, California. The Lord is with us today, and we want to worship him. Elenita Noriel is on the piano. Our brother Melerson is going to be on the trumpet. And Terry is on the choir, and we are here to praise the Lord and to say great things to the name of our God, and to, with joy in our heart, to say, Lord, we love you, and we want to praise you for what you have done for us in our life. We are a living live church, and we have a Monday night, like tomorrow, ladies Bible study at 7 p.m., a Wednesday night prayer meeting at 7:30 p.m., and I'm looking forward for June 20th. Where the man is going to meet here for breakfast and bring your son, and we're going to have a great time of fellowship. The lady is going to cook for us breakfast, and we're going to have a great time of fellowship in the Word and also with one another. May God bless us as we look forward today to praise him with great power. Turn your hymn book to number 198 as I'm going to pray, and after prayer, we're going to sing praises to God and to speak about the blood of Christ today. And I want to try to make it as simple as possible so that you understand it. Let's pray together. Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And today, more than ever, this is your day. And we want to say great things to the name of Jesus, who died on the cross of Calvary, who was buried, who rose again. And now, Father, we, by faith, believing in him, know that we have everlasting life. And we open the doors of this place, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:17, just to preach the gospel so that people may hear about it and may believe it, and they too may come into the kingdom of the living God. Father, we not only here in Morgan Hill, we preach the gospel, we also do it through radio and through trade ministry and through missionaries. And we pray for each one of them as they minister in different places. We pray for Boanerges Mendoza. Today he is in Los Angeles, Lord, preaching in the Coachella Valley. And we pray for him that he may be a blessing to the people there in Los Angeles. We pray for Fred and Carol in Ukraine. We pray for Carol and Ruth Knott in Spain, and for Eusebio and Maritza Perez there in Spain. And Father, for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, and for Ruben and Irene Zachert there in Lodi, California. How we bless your name, Lord, that you allow us to have these number of missionaries and missions in different places, because we want people to know about Jesus and about the power of the gospel that can change our life and transform our mind and give us a new heart, so that we may walk victoriously in this world and enjoy a life eternal with Jesus in heaven. Father, we pray for America, that every pastor in the pulpit today may preach the gospel without fear, that they may tell people about this power of Jesus. And Father, also we pray for our president. We wanted him to fear you. We want him to follow you. And we pray for him and for his wife and for his daughter. Our scriptures command us to pray for him so that we may live in peace. And so, Father, we pray that he may read the scripture, he may be touched by thy word, and we're going to see transformation when that happens. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do with us today. Bless those who are sick. Bless those who are in vacation. Attach their life that they may rejoice and come back with new strength to serve you. And Father, thank you for the choir and for their desire to praise your name and to say good things about the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you for their dedication. Touch the life of somebody today that they too may dedicate themselves to sing praises to thy name. And Father, for us, we pray, we're anxious to have a day with you, and we're anxious to hear your words so that we may learn from it and have wisdom for our life. Bless our families. Touch our life in a very special way, so that when we go home, we can say that we have been with Jesus. In his name we pray and thank you. Amen. Well, you stand now with number 198 in your hand, and let's sing together all these stanzas. There is power in the blood.
There is power, wonder working power in the world.
Our Heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence again, and now with an attitude of thanksgiving, because there come the time when we give to You of the abundance of which You have blessed us. Thank You, Father, for providing for us. Now we come here to provide for the gospel. Bless the offering, bless the giver, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Terrell coming to you from Bethel Baptist Church. Just for a few minutes, I want to talk to you personally. We do have an opportunity to worship on June 20, and this is an opportunity for all the men. I want you to come here on June 20, and you will enjoy to have a great breakfast at 8 o'clock, Saturday, June 20, 8 o'clock. A great breakfast. Bring your son with you, and we're going to have a great time of fellowship, a great time of praising God together and enjoying one another. Men's and son's breakfast, father and son breakfast, on June 20, 8 o'clock. And once again, our phone number to serve you is 778-2595. We are here to serve the community. Doesn't matter where you live, you call us and we pay attention to you, and we will do the best we can to bless your life. In the name of Jesus, we really want to do this so that you know that you have a home church, even though you are listening via radio. God bless you. Let's join the service in progress.
choir. We ask you now to take your Bibles and to turn to Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading in that Bible on page 53. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the Puritans thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain unto the morning, and that which remaineth of it unto the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty Father, blessed is thy holy name. Glory and praise and thanksgiving unto you, Almighty God, for the sacrifice of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom we praise and worship, and as we see in thy word, the true Lamb of God, who shed his blood to save sinners like us. We ask, Almighty God, in thy infinite mercy, as thy servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, proclaims the gospel today, that you will shed the blood of Christ again upon those souls that you call into thy kingdom, that you will forgive them their sins also and wash them clean in the blood of Christ. This we ask in his name. Amen.
chiefest of sinners, Jesus will save. All he has promised that he will do. Wash in the fountain opened for sin, and I will pass over you. Oh, great compassion, oh, boundless love, oh, loving kindness, faithful and true. Find peace and shelter under the blood, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Let's pray together. Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And we pray that as we meditate upon thy word at this hour, that you will show us with clarity what your word has to say about the way of salvation. Bless us with the knowledge of the Almighty, trusting the Holy Spirit, who is the author, the interpreter, and the teacher of the Scripture, will teach us again. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. If you turn for 1 minute your Bible to the book of Acts in chapter 17 and in verse 31, you will learn from the scripture a warning sign. We in California do have warning signs in our what we call freeways or highways in another state. When you approach an entrance of a highway, which is a little complicated because there is a way out on the other side, usually on your left side in the center, there is a sign who says, go back wrong way, in case you want to just take in on an exit. And here is a sign in the scripture for you, Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. Paul made a conclusion at the end of a dissertation, and he says, because he had appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Paul said to the philosophers in Greece, there is a day of judgment coming. If you turn your Bible to the right, almost to the end of your Bible, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 9, in verse 27, there the scripture also have another of those go back wrong way signs. The author of the book of Hebrews, unknown to us, he write these to the Hebrew people in Hebrew 9 and verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after these the judgment. The Bible, regardless what your faith is, regardless what your opinion is about this life, the Bible says that we pass only once in this world, and then after we pass away, then there is a day of judgment ahead of us. Now, how are you prepared for that day? How? You have a good lawyer with you for that day? Are you making preparation today to face that day of judgment, that day in which you're going to stand in the presence of the living God? What will be your provision for that day? Will be your good works? Will be your church membership? Will you go to God and say, "Oh God, I was a member of Bethel Baptist Church, and I hear that pastor with the accent, and I think it will be a wonderful certificate I have from that church." What do you bring into the presence of God? Well, the Bible is one Bible, and now I want to bring your attention back to what our brother Bitola have read in Exodus chapter 12. There is one provision you can bring for that day. Yes, sir, you can. And it is the blood of Christ. The sheltering blood of Christ. And as you know, the Bible have historical events, and every historical event in the Bible is there for a reason. And in Exodus chapter 12, we have the Passover. And the Passover deals with a wonderful judgment of God and the deliverance of God, both at the same time. The Passover is a picture given to us of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And within the Hebrew Passover, we can discover without any doubt what is the sheltering that I need to go in so that I'm protected for that day of judgment. Yesterday I took a fire drill in my area where I live, right here in the mountains. And the fire department asked to walk through certain areas. We live in an area where my house is, that there's only two access. And the police was explaining to us, and the fire officials were explaining to us, that these two access will be blocked. And only the fire department are able to drive in those streets so they can preserve our house in case of fire. And where do we go? There is a park at the end of Holiday Drive, and they took groups of 20 of each of us, and they said, "Here is the way of escape, and you have to walk for 40 minutes, but if you walk through these, you arrive to the end of the lake, and there we were waiting for you to shelter someplace else." I said, "Where is it?" "It's right here, and is locked for cars, but you can jump the little chain, and you can walk through these, and you don't bring your car, you don't bring anything with you." They said, "You just run from your house to here, and then you walk here, and you go through these." And this is, clearly, the police said to us, this is the only way of escape in this neighborhood. Well, ladies and gentlemen, right here in Exodus 12, I want to show you, this is the only way of escape. That day you stand in the presence of the living God in the day of judgment. In this passage of Exodus 12, there are thoughts there hiding within the scripture. In the terminology of the scripture, they unfold the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to unfold the thoughts for you. Number one. The first thought of Exodus chapter 12. The first thought of the gospel is condemnation. Look with me in verse 12. Exodus 12, verse 12. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night," said God, "and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am Jehovah." Now notice, please, what the scripture says. The sentence of death was passed upon all the firstborn. Is that right? All were condemned already. Do you notice in the reading that there is no difference between the Jew and the Egyptians? In verse 12, we read, "And I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt." Doesn't say the scripture the firstborn of the Egyptians. No. The scripture said the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Everybody. Whether you are Egyptian or you are a Jew, I will slay the firstborn, said God. So this is a teaching to us that this is the condition of mankind under the law. This is how we are born. Let me show it to you. If you put one hand in Exodus and you go to the New Testament, to the book of Romans in chapter 3, and in verse 23, the Bible describes clearly that this is the condition of mankind even today. In Romans 3 and in verse 23, we read, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There is no one of us, there is no one of us who is preserved from the day of judgment because you are an Italian or because you're a Chinese or because you are a Japanese or whatever nationality you have or whatever you have done in your life. There is no one of us that is exempt from the judgment of God. Just like in Exodus chapter 12, we have a sentence of death upon our head. If you move your Bible just one page, in Romans 5 and in verse 12, the Bible describes this very clearly. In Romans 5, 12 said, "Wherefore, as by one man sin enter into the world, and death passed by sin, and so death passeth upon all men, for all have sinned." And so we have inherited in Adam the sin of Adam. And each time a baby is born, that baby is going to die. And the reason it's going to die is not because medicine failed. It is not because we have not yet discovered this type of drug that will make you to live forever. No, sir. Every baby born in the universe will die because we are condemned to die because of our sin. That's the message of the gospel. Second message in Exodus chapter 12 is in Exodus chapter 12 and in verse 3. It's a message called substitution. Substitution. Look at in verse 3 what God says in Exodus chapter 12. "Speak ye," God is talking to Moses, "unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." Now remember, the firstborn is sentenced to die. And then God said, here's the solution. Everyone who believes this message, take a lamb for the house. Now the scripture is clear about this. If you put again one hand in Exodus and you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, you're going to find what is the picture of that lamb. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7. "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lamp as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Christ our Passover lamb is sacrificed for us. Now, what are the qualifications of this lamb? Now, remember what the scripture says. The firstborn is going to die. And in order for God to justify himself, he needed firstborn to die and replace that firstborn of the family. Just exactly as Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 qualify the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 8 and in verse 29, the scripture says these wonderful words, "For whom he did foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be," what? "The firstborn among many brothers." Christ is called the firstborn. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, he's called the Passover lamb. In Romans 8 and in verse 29, he's called the firstborn. He is the substitute that we need. We do not need this church to substitute you. We don't need a man to substitute you. We need Christ to substitute you. Christ and Christ Jesus in your place. There is a third thought in Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12 and in verse 7, there is a thought of appropriation. Appropriation. We read in verse 7, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat. Listen carefully what I want to say. It's very serious. The death of the lamb availeth them nothing. The death of that lamb availeth them nothing unless the blood was applied. Do you see it in verse 7? So you take that blood and you apply that blood to the side doors and to the lintel of that door. That's what God says. And so the death of the lamb means nothing really until you believe what you have to do. Until you move on and you take that blood. And God said, I have to paint with the door with this blood and I will do it. Because God says so. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody is saved from the judgment to come but the death of Christ upon the cross. Everybody knows that Christ died upon the cross. You are not saved because you said, yes, I know that Christ died upon the cross. No, you're not saved by that. You are saved by the personal appropriation of that death as the ground of your justification before God. Only when the blood was on the doorpost was it between the firstborn and the avenger. Only when the avenger came and saw the blood, the people were protected. And only when you have the blood of Christ applied to your life is when you are protected from the judgment to come. Now listen carefully. You are not saved by coming to church. It's good that you come to church. You listen to the word, but I cannot save you. I cannot sign a certificate and say, go home and be saved forever. No, sir. You're not saved by coming to church. You are not saved by being a member of any church. I remember one time in my life, somebody wanted to get ahead of me in South America. And I tapped his shoulders. I was first. And he pulled from his pocket a letter. He said, but I have a letter from the Pope. And what that mean? But he got first. Listen, it's not like this in heaven. We are not saved by believing in any image or in anything the man has made. We are not saved by singing in the choir. We are not saved by being baptized, whether you are baptized as an infant or baptized as an adult. We are not saved by the act of baptism. You are saved from the judgment to come by the application of the blood of Christ upon you. And then you have the right to say, how you do that, pastor? Well, there are about 20 verses who say it. They all follow one on the other. And my clock is my enemy. I wish I can have the time to go over them, but I go some of them. And if I go over time, you don't worry. The people can ask for the tape. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to see it. I cannot hang you off from this. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, look at how beautiful it is. Here is how you apply the blood of Christ into your life. The record in Hebrews 11 is of people who have applied God into their life. And let me read it for you because it's just fantastic. Let's go Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated. Hebrews 11, in verse 7. By faith, Noah being warned of God. Hebrews 11, in verse 8. By faith, Abraham. Hebrews 11, verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Verse 17. Look at what the scripture said. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob. Verse 21, by faith Jacob when he was dying. Do you see what I'm seeing? Verse 23 and 24, by faith Moses. Verse 24, by faith Moses when he was come of years and so on. Do you see what I'm seeing? Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. That's how Moses left Egypt. and no fear in the wrath of the king. Verse 29, please. By faith they pass through the Red Sea. Verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished. Now, how do you apply the blood of Christ unto your life? And then you got a lesson. By faith. By believing this book. By believing what the book says. Whose science are so happy. They said they had discovered. You know, the atom has a proton and electron. They have discovered now that the electron has charge. Well, if they move, they're supposed to have charge. And they said, maybe now we can know where we come from. Oh, God, man, it's crazy. If you study physics, you will know. I remember when I was in physics class in engineering. I mean, it's so complicated. It's so simple. It's so complicated. The man will never discover why a proton and an electron, they go together and they go around together and they never crash between each other. I remember I asked my professor, why they don't crash? Oh, one is positive, another is negative. How do you know? He said, well, we're supposed to. Now, I don't suppose anything. What I told you is written in this book called the Bible. Called the Bible. And the Bible tells you and tells me that there is a day of judgment. And in that day of judgment, if the blood of Christ has not been applied by faith into your heart, you are dead forever in hell. That's what the Bible says. There is another thought in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. This is confirmation. Look at verse 13. Exodus chapter 12. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And look at what God says. Verse 13. Look at what God says. And when I see the blood. Terry just had that song. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Wow. 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 When Jehovah passed down through Egypt that night, he was not looking for Israelites. He was not looking for Egyptians. He was looking for what? Look in the text. He was looking for the blood. You see, brother? When God comes and he brings the judgment and finishes the world and we are standing in the presence of God, he's not looking for Americans. He's not looking for Germans. He's not looking for science people. He's looking for the blood in your heart. That was God is looking. Simple. It's simple. A child can understand it. See, the blood made them safe. The sheltering blood of the Lamb protect them. And I tell you, the sheltering blood of Christ on Calvary cross, that was his life. And that protects me. When I believe in him, when I know that he took my place, when I know that I do not deserve it, when I know that I rejected him, when I know that there is no way that I can believe in him, and now I'm believing in him, when I know that, I'm protected. I'm protected. And that day of judgment will come. And in that day, I will stand in the presence of the mighty God, protected, not by me, not by my works, not by my church, but by the blood of Christ. How sinful. There is another thought in Exodus chapter 12, and that's verse 15. I call that thought purification. Exodus 12, verse 15. 7 days shall ye eat the unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. Whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Now, you need to understand this, that leaven in the scripture is a picture of secret sin. Let me show it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 again. Let's go over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's look now at verse 7 and verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and then verse 7. In verse 8, purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with all leaven, nor with sin, neither with a leaven of malice and wickedness. Nobody can see that. It's just in your heart. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Do you see that? Purification. Purification. See, the blood not only justify you before God, but also leads to cleansing in your life. Once you become a believer, once you become attached to that impression of God in your life, you're not the same. You're not the same. You cannot be the same. God has given you a new nature, and God has given you something to live with, that you are entirely different person, or you have the wrong gospel in your heart. One of the two. You have a desire to be with God's people. You have a desire to the furtherance of the gospel everywhere. You have a desire in your life to be burned for the gospel and the people in the 1500. We lost that because we lost the gospel. Some people say the gospel lost power. No, sir. You study in Sunday school today. The gospel is the power of God. No, sir. What happened is we have a lot of fake Christians. That's what happened. And fake Christianity goes nowhere. Check your Christianity. How deep is that blood applied? Was applied by God, or was just something that you for convenience did in your life? Because when you have the blood of Christ in your life, there is a purification in your life, and you kick off daily that leaven that is in our body, in our mind, in our soul. Oh man, I tell you, you kick off your pornography, you kick off all the dirty stuff of your life, little by little, the gospel burn in your heart and change you to the point that you want no more what you want before. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's purification. There is a sixth thought. Verse 22. Exodus chapter 12, verse 22. And that I call resignation. Resignation. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you, listen to this, none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Once Papa got the blood, you know, they maybe got a bucket with a, I don't know how you kill a pig. I guess you chuck the head or whatever you do. Some of you know how to do it. And if you chuck the head, a lot of blood is coming in. And Papa will have a bucket over there and got the blood. And once Papa said, we ready? Say, yes. Then Papa go out and put the blood. Once the blood is put on, you need to wait until the coming of the Lord for the avenger. You see that? What a wonderful picture. Said, so now I'm going to put this, and you wait until the coming of the Lord. Until the Lord passeth by in judgment, they must abide calmly, resting behind the sheltering blood. What a lesson we have, brother and sister, for us today. There is no place in this world that you can hide yourself from evil. My brother, you can go to Nevada. You can go to, I don't know, I've been in Europe and I know little places. You can go here, you can go over there, and you can go any place you want to. You cannot hide yourself from evil. There is only one place to hide from evil, the blood of Jesus. Wow, how wonderful. You don't have to travel 300 miles or change your house and do this and do the other in order to protect yourself. You want to protect yourself? Throw yourselves in the hands of God and let the blood of Christ protect you. But you have to wait. You have to be a Christian patiently waiting until the coming of the Lord. We never think of the coming of the Lord when everything goes well. But let something go wrong in our life, and we start saying, oh, I wish the Lord come today. You know something? We need anxiously, waiting calmly. God did not give instruction to Moses and said, now you go home and pray that the Lord will come. I will come. That's a given. That's a given. I will come, Moses. Just put the blood. I will come. It's a given. And my brother and sister, the Lord is going to come. It's a given. When he comes, let him decide it. Our business is not trying to find out when he comes. Our business is trying to live in a pure life so the others can come into the kingdom. One more. Verse 31 and verse 32 in Exodus chapter 12 teaches that the gospel not only teaches confirmation and purification and resignation, but the gospel also teaches separation. Look at what Pharaoh did after his son died. Pharaoh called Moses, verse 31, and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you four from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flock and your herd as ye have said, and be gone from me. Get out of here." Do you see what I see? After the blood was applied, the Israelites have no difficulty in getting out from Egypt. Boy, if you read the book of Exodus, and you people study with me the book of Exodus, you know that there were 10 plagues in the book of Exodus. And Moses can do all kinds of miracles and wonders, and nothing happened. But when Moses applied the blood, but the unbeliever Pharaoh said, "Get out of here. I don't want anything to do with people who love God." Do you see what I see? Once you are a Christian, you don't have to get rid of the unbelievers. The unbeliever will get rid of you. Believe me. If you are a Christian and you live your life, I don't mean working because you have to work with unbelievers, but your social life is with unbelievers, there is something wrong with your Christian living. Because if you leave the Christian life, the unbelievers say, "Get out of here. We don't want you out here." Listen, I was in a very nice restaurant in Barot, in Cajamanda, Spain. And it was a special night. And the guy came. First thing they want to serve you is all kinds of vermouth and whatever they drink. I said, "We don't." "Oh, all right." Then they come the meal, and they come with the wine. I said, "We don't." And so the waiter said, "What do you drink?" I said, "I drink good coffee. Just bring a cup of coffee." "Just for the meal?" He said, "Yes." "Oh, wow." "And the rest of the family?" "Water." "Oh, wow," he said. And then he cannot hold it. At the end of the meal, he said, "Where do people come from?" I said, "We come from America." "Well, the Americans are all drunk. Look over there." And there was a table with all American drunk people. So he went over there and said, "You're American?" I said, "He's American. He don't drink and you drink. What's wrong?" I said, "I know what is wrong." He said, "They don't have Jesus and I have Jesus." And I was able to say to this Spaniard fellow, "You have Jesus?" He said, "I go to the church." "And I don't want, don't tell me if you go to the church, but you have Jesus?" And hold his hand and said, "Let me pray for you." And in the middle of this fancy restaurant, everybody with a black tuxedo, we pray. He said, "Lord, bless this man that he may see Jesus and know that I do not drink with wine." I tell you, if you stand for Christ and you apply the blood of Christ to your life and apply the blood of Christ to every one of your children and you get your children behaving and living a life for Jesus, the unbeliever don't want anything to do with you. I guarantee it. And the guy who sells suits and television, I guarantee it. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, "Disappointed unto man, wants to die, and then the judgment." That's no, for me as a pastor, I tell you, that's very tough. Because I have walked in many cemeteries. And I have walked in places where, to me, the impression that I have of the person who died is they have no salvation whatsoever. And the pain that I have in my heart is not that the person die or the family will be left over without the person, but how do I communicate to these hurting people that the urgency is the gospel? How do I tell these other people, "Well, somebody dies, okay, but you don't have to die in the same way if you apply the blood of Christ." Listen to the words of Jude. If you want, you can look. Jude is just before the book of Revelation. In Jude chapter 1, actually, it's only one chapter, verse 15, the very last verse, almost the last verse of Jude. "I will therefore," said Jude, "put you in remembrance. Though ye once knew this," he said to the church, Now that the Lord having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroy them that believe not. Jude verse 15. The Bible said, the Lord saved the people out of the land of Egypt. Do you know how many? Three. 6 million came out of the land of Egypt. At least three were saved. Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. And the Bible says he destroyed those who believe not. My brother and my sister, my friend, have you believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for you? I'm not asking you to be a Baptist. I'm not asking you to be anything. I'm asking you to think, have you believed that Jesus Christ died for you? And that he shed his blood for you? If you have, then there will be no judgment for you. You are acquitted. And then your life in this world is going to be different because of that. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel. And we thank you, Lord, that we are sheltered in the blood of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that the gospel is not what we think, is what you wrote in the Bible. And Father, this morning, we thank you that those who believe, we are sheltered in the blood of Jesus, our Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this. And we pray that as each one of us check our hearts and minds, that we may be found believing in this merciful God. In Jesus' name we thank you for what you're going to do with us even now. Amen.
Tears, the life that you gave for us, Lord.
The time in your presence is precious, and we are so awed by the grace that we have received.
Thorns that you wore, the cross that you bore, we will remember. The hammer, the spear, the darkness, the tears, the life that you gave for us, Lord. We will never forget the mercy you've shown. And even in glory, when we're at your throne,
the cross that you bore, we will remember the hammer, the spear, the darkness, the tears, the life that you gave for us, Lord. The life that you gave for us, Lord. We will remember the thorns that you
talking about have been placed there by the Lord, then you may partake of the elements with us. You're going to be served, and then you wait until the pastor serves the deacons, and then after that the deacons will serve the pastor, and then we partake all together. And so again, we welcome you. I'm glad that you are visiting our church today. And if you're a believer in Christ, doesn't matter what denomination you are from or whatever, if you're a believer in Christ, if the blood of Christ has been applied to your heart, you are my brother and my sister. And therefore, we want to say together, we are one with the Lord. Also, I want to clarify that the Lord's Supper doesn't make anybody holy. See, this is not a sacrament, which a sacrament is a Latin word, which means everything the sacrament touches makes it sacred. No, this is not so. This is an ordinance that the scripture, if I had time today, I will have 33 verses to explain in Exodus how this is an ordinance of the Lord. That means we do this not to be holy, but because we are holy by the Lord Jesus. And we are saying, Lord, thank you that we are one together in the faith of Christ. All right? So we are not putting a blessing on you. The blessing has been placed by Christ alone into your heart. So we're going to call the deacons, Brother Victor, Brother Romulo, Brother Mike, and Jack, only three. All right. Good. We have one deacon in vacation, that rascal. All right. Sit down, please. Here's what the scripture says. I always, for the Lord's Supper, it's easy to know. You open in Matthew 26:26, and here it is. I like numbers who are even, so you remember. In Matthew 26:26, Jesus is in the house of John Mark, and they're having a feast, and they're having a Passover. And then Jesus, the Bible said, as they were eating in the process of the meal, maybe it was at the middle of the meal, Jesus took bread and blessed it and break it and gave it to the disciples. And then he said to them, take it, this is my body. And so we're going to pass to you the bread. The deacons may stand, please. And as we pass the bread, as I said again, you wait until the pastor is served, and then we all partake together. Jesus pray before passing this. And when there is a Greek word used for this, it's called Eucharist.